Hi, I'm Amelia, the station manager of Radio Laurier, and you are listening to our coverage of the 2021 student union elections. This interview, originally recorded on January 14th, is with presidential candidate Pega Jamiloff. What was your main motivation behind running for SU president this year?
So I mentioned it yesterday. A big part of running for president started with me running for Board of Governors and Senate, seeing how much change I could really do there, and then recognizing how much of Devin's platform was just like large changes, seeing how much influence the president had. That was just really inspirational to me, to know that we have positions like that open to students. And as I've been pretty clear about and like vocal about is mental health. So I think that one of the things that students need for student satisfaction that we've kind of lost was we need healthy students. And I think the best way to reach student success and stuff like that is by mental health advocacy. And that was the big, one of my biggest points was, if I can do that in this position, then that's what I will do.
Absolutely. And going off student satisfaction in general and just the overall well-being of students, which I think has contributed a lot to Laurier having this title, Laurier lost the title for number one in student satisfaction this year. Are there any major indicators visible to you that may have contributed to this that you can think of?
So I did a bit of a poll back in November as to what students felt was problematic, also just like sustainability and mental health stuff as well. A lot of them feel that, one, their voices aren't really heard. They felt that they didn't know where to access resources. And I think that a lot of it also comes down to just first years and how they feel on campus. So if that's a change in O-week programming, if that's just making sure that students are aware of what they're, what the SU does, I think that would make a huge change to just overall student satisfaction. Further, though it might not affect all students, a lot of students are very passionate about sustainability, and we have been implementing more sustainable actions and goals at Laurier. But I think if we start really broadcasting it, we can also change a lot of the students' opinions of the university.
For sure. And I guess with Laurier losing this title, I mean, not that it's all about titles and you know, how we're viewed, how people perceive us outside of the university, but given that there has been such a drop in student satisfaction, if you are elected, what will you do, not necessarily to bring back the title of number one in student satisfaction, but just the overall morale of how students feel about their institution and Laurier as their chosen university?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, absolutely. So because Laurier has lost this title, and I just want to emphasize that it's not so much the title I'm concerned about, but just the overall morale that students have. What would you do if elected to work on building that back up?
Okay. So one of the main things of my whole platform is mental health resources. Yet again, I think a healthy student is someone who's happy, and a happy student leads us to being successful. So that is, so I guess now that I can really talk about it, one of the main things that we wanted to do was go into first year courses and maybe even other courses too. And you know how we have in the Career Center come to our classes, we have the library come, teachers to site. As much as some students are like, okay, I know this, some students aren't aware. So we wanted to do that, but with wellness. So we would have a counselor or someone from the SU, depending on if we have someone allocated to just mental health resources and so on, to just come in and tell students not only what resources are available, but the signs of when you're not doing too well. Because I feel like a lot of people don't even recognize that they're not doing well till it's
too late.
So just having that, having them understand resources. So that would be one idea that we've played around with. Another thing would be just changing O-week programming. So not only just having students understand what mental health is, and the stresses and resources available, but also what the SU is and how the SU has such a big impact in students' lives, because I feel like a lot of students aren't really aware of what the SU does. So mm-hmm. just knowing what resources are available to them from the SU mm-hmm. in O-Week programming would be a great thing to do. Another thing for upper year students and just all students in general mm-hmm. is having either a website or a web bot that you could kind of utilize to find what you need. Mm-hmm. So if that's being, I need a resource right now, I need therapy, I'm not doing too well, I feel like the stress of school is too much, you could type into this web bot, like your age, your gender, like all factors that might contribute to it, and it would lead you to the right resource. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that we've played with. We've also discussed working alongside subsidizing online resources like BetterHelp, or creating an online resource just like the Writing Center has mm-hmm. as to, like, let's say you're feeling stressed and you don't want to talk to someone, but how to handle it.
Yeah.
So those are all things that I feel overall would affect student satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Also with COVID, I know that it's really hard for students. And I actually just got off a call with one of my professors, and I was kind of asking her what she's noticed with students. And a lot of them feel isolated, and that doesn't mean that they necessarily need therapy or mental health resources, but really just an outlet to talk. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing around with it, and I haven't actually told my team, so you're kind of the first person I'm talking to about it. Mm-hmm. But having something like a Zoom hangout just hosted by someone in the SU yep. once a day, so students can come just chat, feel mm-hmm. heard if they're isolated alone. Hopefully COVID won't be a huge factor next year. Hopefully we'll be able to come back to campus a little bit. But if it is, we want to make sure that that every student is safe, secure, mentally healthy, and mm-hmm. also working alongside residents to make sure that we can not only have them be safe, because I think one thing this year has been safety, but also now that we've had time to see what works and what doesn't work, how we can also advocate for them to also have fun on campus
yeah.
while also remaining COVID safe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know it's going way back to when you first started answering the question, but I really like the point about having whether it's people from the SU or the Wellness Center coming into first year classes. I think that's a really really yeah. unique idea that I'm quite surprised actually hasn't been looked into before this. I think that's a great resource.
My team and I, we've called it annoying the students into knowing everything.
Well, yeah.
And it might be annoying, but I think it's necessary, and it's only 20 minutes of your time once yeah. a semester.
No, and
professors.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. Even professors, I said, like, I asked them about it. They seem to support it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, even like you said, the library, yes, it's annoying. You know, we don't want to learn how to do Chicago style every semester, but we know how to do it. And that's the point. It's there. So yeah. I think that's it's an additional kind of safety net for students. I think that's a really smart idea. And I know some of these questions are going to be a little bit repetitive, but I think it's just important that students are made aware in case they haven't been listening to every single open forum or every Q&A. So can you just elaborate a little bit on your past experiences at Laurier and how they've prepared you for the job of Student Union President?
Yeah, so I will start, I guess I'll just go from first year on. So in first year, I was on house counsel and outreach. So that gave me a little bit of an understanding of just how residence life works. Obviously, I haven't been a Don, but I think that gave me good enough insight to not only just be able to understand how students are, but also I formed a lot of connections and networks with students who have decided to become Dons. Mm-hmm. So I obviously feel comfortable asking them for insights. Another thing that I recognized from my outreach experience was how to really get involved in community. So I understand that Waterloo and Brantford we're not the only people here. Yeah. We have such a large community, and if we don't work alongside our community, we're just building we don't want to build a bad rep. We want to make sure that we have a good community here. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of our students then go work in this community, may stay here. And we don't want to have issues with, like, for example, homecoming and stuff where our neighbors don't like us, because I think we have instilled such a great community. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing that I came to recognize in outreach. Also just going back to it, you know, it builds It builds team building experience, leadership experience, all that, initiative taking. Mm-hmm. I was more focused on pushing for Indigenous resources. So that's something that I'm pretty passionate about. And I came to realize that through my time on outreach, that was something that I was constantly pushing for. And if given this opportunity to be elected as SU president, I definitely want to work alongside communities with Indigenous groups. Yeah. That being said, going into my second year, I was more focused upon my sorority. So I'm a member of Alpha Phi, and there, obviously, we do a lot of philanthropy. So though Greek Life can get bad reps sometimes, there's so much good that they also do for the community. Just recently, this past November, I worked alongside the Pikes to help Grand River Hospital. So we do a lot of things like that. We also raise a lot of funds for Alpha Phi speaking for we have a charity donated to Women's Heart Health, that we donate to Women's Heart Health. So we raise almost millions of dollars each year for that. Mm-hmm. So I realized that there's so much good that Greek Life does, and I think that we should be working alongside them to make sure that we can do what's best for the community, the students, yeah, get them involved. So that was another thing that I came to realize from my experience, was at least I understand how that area functions. Mm-hmm. In my third year, I ran for Board of Governors and Senate. Board of Governors was a great experience because I now recognize I don't have a finance background, but with this, I got a good understanding of how finances work at Laurier. So I'm not inexperienced when I go into this role. Mm-hmm. Another thing was that I'm one of the few students on this, so it was quite a huge honor to be put on it. Mm-hmm. I also am on the Senate, which is also unique because there hasn't really been a student on both at the same time. So I don't know if there ever has been, but from my understanding, I'm one of the very few. Mm-hmm. So with my Senate role, I actually work on the Academic Planning Committee. So that actually does, so that helps me understand what different students are dealing with in regards to academics. But then just overall, at the Senate, I've worked with a great team of student senators who took the initiative to meet. We've met on our own, which is not necessary, which is not mandated, mm-hmm, but we did it because we understood so many students were really, really upset with this lockdown browser feature, mm-hmm, recording us. So though it wasn't a lot of professors wanted it, we discussed with admin how we could best work for the students, because undergraduate students were not enjoying it. During that time, we were meeting almost 3-4 times a week. We were contacting the Grad Students Association. We were contacting different members of ESU, Devon. I was elected an unofficial leader in that position. So that was really cool. So that was like my experience there. It definitely built team building, leadership experience, understanding how administration works. So I think these are all great experiences that I have that will lead me to being a very great candidate and great president if elected.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And just, I want to talk a little bit about Greek Life for a second. I have another question in a few from here, but are you at all concerned that, you know, you're an advocate for Greek Life, you're a part of Greek Life, are you concerned that people may be kind of misunderstanding your advocacy almost with the presidency? Are you a little concerned that maybe you're, you know, not, I don't want to say like you're advocating for something that you're a part of.
Yeah.
But are you at all concerned about that perception from students?
Okay. So I'm not too concerned with that, because I think regardless, I would have been advocating for them because they are such a large body of the university, mm-hmm, just as I'm advocating for athletes too, because mm-hmm, I'm not a student athlete, mm-hmm, but I'm also representing them because these are large portions of our university. And every president has in some way, shape or form made promises to Greek Life, though they might not have made it as transparent as I have. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's not, I think if anything, it's pretty good that I'm being transparent. I think it's a strength not a weakness. And I won't be a member of Alpha Phi. Alpha Phi has a cap of 4 years for students, no matter if I continue mm-hmm. as a student the following year. Mm-hmm. So I won't be a member of Greek Life next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. I want to talk a little bit about the open forum yesterday and just some questions specifically that I wanted to touch on here. But yesterday in the open forum, you mentioned that you wanted to fight misinformation on the Spotted at Laurier Twitter account. How do you think that working with student publications, so us, could be helpful in combating this misinformation? Because I know you did mention that you thought maybe having a redirecting website or bot on Twitter to the directly to the Students Union website might be helpful. But how do you think collaborating with student publications might kind of assist the reputation of Students Union and just people's understanding, students' understanding of the role of what you all do?
So I actually didn't really think of student publications, but I'm really happy that you mentioned that. I think that that would be a great idea to work alongside them, because Spotted has been, it has been really helpful in certain areas where it's like, hey, like, where can I get the best hair done? Where can I get my hair best done, in Waterloo or Brantford? Mm-hmm. But then the misinformation, I think that already the SU's monitoring it, the Senate's monitoring it, professors, everyone's monitoring Spotted and what's being sent in. Mm-hmm. So this time, what I know that there's obviously a few issues, such as we don't want to also misinform students, but I think we need to start responding to these things, because if we don't, then it builds up and it builds up, and then people have a completely wrong understanding of what's even going on. Because if students really, really care, well, they do care, sorry. If students really wanted to discuss lockdown browser, if they really, and I know that a few of them did, but they didn't know where to go to, it wouldn't have really been to the Students Union. It would have been more directed to the Senate. It would have been more directed to, it should have been more directed to me. But because the Senate, for example, doesn't have an Instagram handle or a Twitter handle, there wasn't really anyone there to tell them, hey, like, did you know that you can actually contact these people instead? So if the S, it is the SU's job, from my understanding, to make sure that students are aware of what, how the university works and so on. So if we had an account, for example, that monitored this regularly and also responded to it, mm-hmm. I think we could have stopped a lot of the heat that Devin got, the heat that the SU got with that mm-hmm. whole thing. And it's not that that's the only occasion. There's been so many occasions, I just can't think off the top of my head, where this has happened. And it's just leaving everyone frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, it's kind of a forum where people can air their grievances, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just in general with student media and student publications, if you're elected, how do you view the relationship that you would work to form and kind of keep with student media, between the student union and student media?
Sorry. So the student union and the student, so obviously a clear line of communication. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that clubs and associations VP would definitely be a large factor there in making sure that we're communicating well. There's also a lot of other VPs who probably have a lot of different insights and so on. So mm-hmm. maybe I'm not sure exactly how we would best detail it, but definitely, like, if I were to come in May, that would be one of the first things I would do, is like probably want to sit down with whoever is responsible for the publications and my VPs and really talk about the best way that we can combat misinformation on social mm-hmm. media mm-hmm. and get really the insights of the publications, because publications are the ones who are best with this marketing stuff. Like that's what you guys study. Like I don't want to come in and be like, I know how to market better than you guys when it comes to information. Yeah. So just really forming a way that we can discuss it mm-hmm. and make sure that we're doing our best to help students.
Mm-hmm. Well, less, yes, you're totally right in some aspects there. Yes, less marketing and more so we're there to hold the institution accountable, right? Like student yeah. journalists, that's what they're there for. Yeah. So yes, I mean, I think what you say is important, you know, figuring out how with collaboration, the two separate entities can work together while still yeah. both having autonomy to combat yeah. the misinformation. Because I mean, the thing with Spotted too is, yes, I mean, in some ways it's great for students, it's a quick resource, but like we, what our work is at Student Media is to combat misinformation and keep students informed. So we're constantly at odds with Spotted as well.
Yeah.
So figuring out a way that, you know, the two separate entities can come together to try and create better resources for students and just keep students overall informed better.
Yeah.
Okay, another question about the open forum. Yesterday, you mentioned when Aaron asked you this question, you didn't like the question about critiquing the current president.
Yeah.
I'm just curious why that is.
So this was something that I talked to my team about. I think that constructive criticism is always a great thing. Don't get me wrong. I just think that, one, if I'm elected, we have to work alongside Devin. My team has to work alongside her VP, so to make sure that the transition goes as well as possible. Further, the presidency and my team would be only 365 days in office. So it's really just legacy building. It's not just like me doing something and that's it, and then I'm done. It's taking whatever Devin had done, taking whatever Canor had done, and just continuing on and making sure that my predecessor also knows how to continue with this. So if we're building a negative rapport at the beginning of this all, it's just not a great way to, I don't think that it's a great way to go about it. And I'm not saying that, I don't think Devin would take it all personally. It's just, I think that she gets a lot of criticism as is from different areas. And I think that she's aware of, where her strengths and weaknesses are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, I don't think that question, when it's asked, it's perceived as by, you know, the current president as, you know, this is a jab against you, but clearly, or I can't imagine that you think that everything has been perfect with the administration.
Yeah, no.
So it's just more of a chance, I guess, for you and the other candidates to kind of think about, well, this is maybe what I would have done. It's definitely not meant to be.
And I think that it's just, if you're asking what Devin did or what the president did versus the administration, because at the end of the day, Devin is only one person. Yeah. It's a whole group. For sure.
But she spearheads it, right? Or the president spearheads it in general. So they kind of are the captain.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was just curious, but I appreciate your answer. Thank you. And again, going back to Greek life here, you're a big advocate for Greek life. But in 2020, there's been a lot of discussion around the problematic nature of many of these organizations, racism, sexism, homophobia, inappropriate and extreme hazing. So what will you do to ensure you're advocating for inclusiveness in Greek life at Laurier if elected?
So the one thing is, I think that Laurier Greek life, in opposition to the way that it's perceived in the States, for example, is very, very, the term progressive, in the sense that it's not so much about being cliquey or uninclusive, but rather it's an area for students to come together and really build a community. For me, I joined Alpha Phi in my first year, second semester, because I didn't feel that I got exactly the community that I needed. I didn't have many female friends. So that really helped me. But I understand why it gets such a bad rep, and I understand why so many people don't find it an appealing area, but that's a lot of misinformation as well, especially here at the Laurier campus. You know, I can't speak to other universities, but here at Laurier, Greek life, from my experience, has been nothing but inclusive. It has led so many different movements, especially when BLM happened. My sorority was very vocal about it. And I know that a lot of the fraternities had also been pretty vocal about it. And I wouldn't really support any institution that systemically, had a system or was notorious for discriminating against any group of people. Because at the end of the day, I am a brown person. I'm from the Middle East. I do face discrimination in various different areas. So I wouldn't really support an area, institution that would
harm me. For sure. I guess with those misconceptions about like just Greek life in general. And I think it is important to make like a clear distinction between Greek life in the States and in Canada. Cause I don't know for certain, but I think there are some general distinctions.
Yeah.
Where do you think the misconceptions come from?
So in the States, it's a completely different community. I haven't visited any of the States, Alpha Phi groups. And I think that Alpha Phi in itself is very great. Like, we have a zero tolerance policy to any sort of racism or homophobia. We're pretty inclusive about those things. And that's why I supported it completely. Obviously, I can't speak to all different institutions, yeah. But I think there's been a lot of anecdotal evidence against different fraternities and sororities in the United States. Mm-hmm. But also we have to look at the culture of the United States versus the culture here in Canada. Canada is a lot more progressive than the United States. And Canada is also, from what I've seen, we have a zero tolerance policy to hazing. And I think as do all the fraternities and sororities here. And that's something that I'm very, very proud of. I'm proud to be a Greek Life member here at the Laurier campus.
So just skipping over to not open forum questions anymore, but if you're elected, there is a chance you may inherit a closed campus for the next school year. Let's say COVID doesn't go according to plan with the vaccination rollout and it's not safe. Mm-hmm. What steps will you take to improve upon the student experience after experiencing the transition to remote learning this year?
Yeah, so that is a huge thing that we've definitely considered. And a lot of my platform, if you've had a chance to go through it all, mm-hmm. has been things that we can do even with COVID. I even mentioned in residence, in the residence portion of my platform, that students are, that though there's been a lot of isolation in residence, we want to mm-hmm. see how we can work alongside Dons, maybe do a little bit of a poll on first year students on how they would have liked to be able to socialize a bit more, however, also being COVID safe. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they all have various different opinions on it. I've even been messaged by certain first years who have been in residence telling me about their experience, and I'm open to discussing that more because obviously I can't go into every detail of the institution as I'm only an outsider. I haven't had a chance to really take on the role of president. But that is a big thing. And I know that it sucks to be social distancing. It sucks to be in lockdown.
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping that with the mental health part of my platform, we'll be able to help students when they really need it. And I'm hoping yet again to take a poll of all students to be open to what their suggestions are. And I mentioned briefly at the beginning of this interview about Zoom hangouts, and I think that's something so possible, something so easy to do with the SU. We could have different VPs, different AVPs host them mm-hmm. just once a day, just so that students who might be living alone, like I am currently, to be able to come talk, because it is really hard, especially if you're not surrounded by friends or and family. So I think that those are all things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if we start opening up campus, it's not going to be from 0 to 100, you know. There's going to be a weird transitional period,
mm-hmm.
and I'll definitely have to be working alongside my team this summer to really prepare for what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, prepare for the worst, but really hope for the best.
I think everybody's feeling that lately. And I want to talk about mental health advocacy right now, because that is one of the main pillars in your platform. So what's the reasoning behind this? And what about the current accessibility to mental health resources on campus is insufficient to you specifically?
Okay. So I guess that's a two-pronged question. So starting with why mental health advocacy is so important to me. I have suffered a lot from different mental health struggles. I have had anorexia. I've had purge. I've had chronic depression. And obviously, I deal with my bits of anxiety. I also was recently diagnosed with ADHD. And I think that one of the biggest problems is amongst students is that there's a very limited openness and understanding to what mental health even is, especially with men. So if you know me personally, you know that I'm a huge advocate for men's mental health. Mm-hmm. Having had many men near me in my life suffer from it greatly and feeling the kind of patriarchal effects of not mm-hmm. being able to deal with it, because there's such a large stigma for men to talk about mental health. They're just not comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but a great portion of them. And that's reflected in suicide statistics when we look at how 70% of all suicides are men. There's obviously different, there's obviously various reasons to that, but I think a lot of it does have to do with men not seeking the help that they need early enough. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm very passionate about the issue. Mm-hmm. And as to what Laurier has and doesn't have, I think Laurier has actually a few great resources available. I can't say it off the top of my head. I have actually a policy director in charge of making sure that we have a whole list of all the things available to students. I don't have it on me, but one thing that we've come to recognize is there is one, mental health trainings for dons and so on, but we wanted to really like push that even more. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've come to recognize is that dons and foot patrol and various different volunteers have actually had to deal with different crises that they might not be prepared for. Mm-hmm. And that's not just harmful to the person dealing with it, but also the volunteer themselves, if they don't know how to deal with it, because that's not, if they've never dealt with it before, that could be really consequential. So it's making sure that volunteers are not only equipped with the tools that they need to deal with it, but also that they know how to recognize it within themselves. Mm-hmm. So one thing is really working alongside something like Safe Talk or different organizations to really train our staff and our employees and our volunteers on how to best equip themselves for it. Mm-hmm. And I know that we do have some training programs, but I think that we need it to be a little more extensive. Yeah. Especially for dons. And if that's not possible, if we do find that to be a little bit too big of an idea, we do want to make sure that we have someone on call ready to deal with it. Yeah. If let's say like you are a don and there's something really big happening, you can at least have someone that you know will come to you as soon as the problem's been identified. Mm-hmm. So those are things that I've recognized. Another big problem is just having resources available. So back in second year, I dealt with situational depression, and I went to the wellness center, and I was still very confused as to what resources were available. I was told I could use this resource, I could go to this psychiatrist, and I still didn't understand what was covered, what wasn't, what was subsidized, and how often I could see counselors. You could see counselors once almost every 2 to 3 weeks, which wasn't really exactly what I needed. I think I needed more one on like once a week kind of thing. Yeah. And also I felt that I had no idea where to even start. I didn't know how to continue if I needed it or what were the best areas to go to. So after talking to a lot of different administrative bodies, mm-hmm. We've actually come to recognize we wanted to do something peer, like a peer connect program, something yeah. like that, which we have, but we were looking at the example at Queen's University. So a few of our friends who do go to Queens, we were talking about them, about what resources they have. And we wanted to just have something like students could just text someone anonymously, like if they're not feeling too great, obviously not in crisis, but just like, yeah. you know, have students help students. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Queens does, but we don't do here. And there's been some issues with anonymity. We are a smaller school, but those are things that we could definitely look into. And just making sure students are aware of what resources are available and how to utilize them was a yeah. big thing that, as I was talking about, mm-hmm. I didn't find. Yeah. So having just a website or a web bot to tell me exactly where to go based upon how I'm feeling and who I am mm-hmm. would have been so helpful.
Yeah.
So those are things that I feel like we're lacking. Mm-hmm. And before I forget, student athletes, I don't want to say anything poorly about them, but as we were talking to different athletes, a lot of the men's teams were very, very vocal about them not having issues about mental health.
Interesting.
And their whole team. And there's, these teams are large, you know, there's 60 to 80 people on almost so many of the different teams. Mm-hmm. So to state that nobody has suffered or that no one is suffering is quite a blanket statement. Mm-hmm. And that's why we really want to make sure that even if let's say, I would love that, like, if that is the case, like, that's great. But even if there's one person who's suffering, we want to make sure that we can incorporate a kind of training program for student athletes, because they face so many great external pressures with school, with practice, with training, and so on, that they know that there's resources available to them. So that was another area where we found that the Laurier was kind of lacking there. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to just incorporate that. So I know that a lot of athletes have study groups, study sessions. So a big portion of it's like how to study for like half the session, and then the other portion is like actually studying. So if we could just incorporate like once a semester or once a year, just, hey, these are the mental health resources.
Yeah.
We understand student athletes might want to use them. Not asking anyone to come forward, just letting them know what's there and what's available.
That's really interesting. Sorry, what did you say? You interviewed how many teams and none of them?
Not like, we interviewed like a handful. I'm not going to like go too into detail because obviously, like,
no.
I don't want to like bash on anyone. Like, I think like they're all great people, but yeah, we interviewed quite a handful, and they suggested that there wasn't really any issues there.
And I think going back to what you said earlier about especially like men's mental health, the stigma around like admitting it, that's just interesting. Sorry, not related to our
I remember I heard that, and obviously I was like, okay,
yeah,
well, statistically that's not plausible.
Yeah, seriously. Wow. I think that's a great idea. And thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing your experiences with mental health. That's really brave.
Thank you. Well, a big part, I can mention it later, but a big part of my platform, we're doing a campaign for CAMH, and we're posting about it tonight, actually.
Great. Yeah, I know you mentioned that in the open forum yesterday, so I'm sure everyone's going to be really excited to hear about this. Just a couple more questions for you, and then I'm going to let you go. I know this has been a super long interview, but...
No, it's enjoyable.
Good. So really interesting in your platform too, advocacy for STI testing. Why do you think this hasn't been proposed by previous administrations, and why is it so important to your platform? So another double prong question for you there.
Okay. So I guess why it hasn't been was, it's kind of a weird topic. Like it hasn't, like, people don't really like to talk about it. STIs are not like glorious, and obviously they're not. So yeah, I guess like it probably just didn't cross people's minds. It's not that they didn't care, it was just, that's just not something that, and I didn't really think of it until back in, I think, first year or second year, one of my friends was like, hey, like Western is doing it, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it was like they were incentivizing it by take a cookie and get tested. I mean, I don't know if I'll be doing take a cookie and get tested, but I'm sure there's a way that we can work alongside wellness to find a way to incentivize students to get tested.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that goes along with like destigmatizing testing too, because I think there's there's a whole stigma around you're dirty. You know what I mean? And that's such a problematic, it happens to people. So,
and and the amount of people that I know who've suffered from like chlamydia and stuff like that, and they didn't know because they don't know what the symptoms are, is just like, it's huge, especially amongst a young community such as our own. Like I've talked to wellness, and they were like, yeah, like it's pretty common here.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, it's just the shame, I think the shame factor that goes along with that. But I like that idea. So a significant complaint this year was that the students felt Students Union was not transparent about changes to healthcare coverage. Specifically talking about the oral contraceptives not being covered any longer. What will you do to ensure clarity and transparency surrounding healthcare coverage for students?
Okay, so that goes back to my experience with SU. So I am more, like I said, I work alongside administrative in different areas of the community at Laurier. SU hasn't really been, I haven't been an AVP and I haven't been on this board of directors.
Yeah.
So I come in with a different viewpoint. I myself have very limited knowledge to the coverage. Well, I did. Now that I've decided to run, I've come to understand it better. But I had very limited knowledge. I was basically just an average student here at the campus who wasn't involved in SEO. Mm-hmm. So I had very limited knowledge to what was covered, how much of it was covered,
yeah,
how to go about being reimbursed, and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to Owen and he was talking about this referendum that they're putting forward.
Yeah.
And honestly, we had to talk, like we had to call to like get an understanding of what exactly he was proposing, because it's not just about contraceptives. That's just like, you know, the biggest point.
One.
But there's just so much that I didn't even recognize. And I told him, and I'll be very clear, students need to understand what's available to them to want to even change that.
Yeah.
If they don't utilize it, then they're not going to care to increase the fee for it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I'm really putting forward is just because I haven't been in the SU clique, I haven't been in the SU network, I can come in and I can see, hey, look, these are the problems that I noticed,
yeah,
with SU. And that's why I said back to the OWEEK programming, making sure students know what's available to them, not just mental health wise, but like by the SU,
mm-hmm,
is a huge point, because it can affect their 4 years here. It can affect how much they participate in the elections. It can affect their coverage. It can affect their physical health. Those are all things that I think like we need to get students to understand from the,
yeah,
very beginning when they enter this school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, not to probe you too much, but any ideas on how to do that?
Yeah. So that goes back to OWEEK. So, you know,
mm-hmm,
like I said, we'll have a talk about mental health. We'll have a talk. We have that talk about consent. Just being like, hey, did you know that these are what the SU does?
Yeah.
Maybe give them a pamphlet. Obviously during OWEEK, students aren't always the most, aware of what's going on with OWEEK, because, you know, it's a new school.
Yeah,
they're really
the
focused
kind of
on meeting people.
Yeah.
So also having their dons be really, really aware,
mm-hmm,
is a huge part of it. So maybe having the dons talk to them about it throughout their residence experience, or if they're on a locus, having whoever's in charge of them on locus, making sure that they're also explaining it to them. Because we can bombard them with emails and different areas, but if they don't read it, they're not going to know. So it's really just making sure that it's, one, we have the online marketing for it, but two, making sure that they're talking to people who will tell them about it.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Last two questions. We're in the home stretch here. There's been a general decline in volunteer retention and recruitment with SU, and I'm sure it's only, I don't have any specific numbers, so I don't want to make any grand statements, but obviously it's been difficult with COVID to engage students and campus lockdown and restrictions. So if you're elected, what are you going to try to do to engage volunteers?
Yeah, so I think we did manage to retain, I think, 300 volunteers from what,
mm-hmm,
I saw posted on the SU, which was pretty significant, because at the end of the day, like, we're in COVID. It's a lot harder to retain. And
yeah,
also volunteer services are not as largely utilized or even functioning right now because students are not on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the big things. Another thing is making sure that within first year, students are understanding what opportunities are
available.
Offered to them. So that also goes back to making sure students even understand what SU is.
Yeah.
So those are big factors. I can't speak too much to volunteer retention without really having like a group of people, like a team, to really talk about the best ways. But these are the ways that I've considered, because,
mm-hmm,
you know, there's the VP of programming and clubs and associations. So those are also people that I'd have to really talk to, because they'll be able to really see what the issues have been prior to.
Mm-hmm.
I've obviously sat down with them this year to just understand their role and just get a little bit of understanding of what the problems are. So those are big things, but it's on the strategic plan between 2020 to 2025. So they do have that under consideration. So it's really coming into next year, seeing what COVID's like, and then going from there and making sure we broadcast it to first years who are looking for those opportunities.
Great, great. Thank you. And last question, just a voter turnout question. 6% voter turnout last year for elections. That's pretty low. So what are you going to be doing during the campaign process to engage students and make them feel like they can enact meaningful change with the Students' Union?
Yeah, so that goes back to a large, so I don't know if you've seen my Vote PJ page on Instagram, but a large thing is explaining to them what it is and why it's important. Mm-hmm. So we have posts lined up to explain not only what I stand for, but also why it's important for them to even vote.
Yeah.
Because yet again, people don't understand the SU is a huge part of their experience here at Laurier. Mm-hmm. So if you don't vote, then you don't get a say in what happens until, you know, you file your complaints. But if you get it from the beginning, then you know exactly what to do. So referendums, if they can be understood by students, I'll definitely be posting some more information. And it's just the keeping it simple kind of writing. Because I think even as like someone in publication, you know, it's keep it simple. Make sure that your audience is able to understand. So if I'm here talking about fair trade agreements to make sure that franchises are being more green, that sounds great to me. That sounds great to maybe people who are in sustainability, but if you don't know what that means, then it doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, absolutely. In one ear, out the other. Well, Pega, thank you so much for your time. I know this was a long interview, but I think this is great. I mean, we really got into kind of the nitty gritty of your platform, and I think this is going to be a great resource for students to come and listen to hear about you and your campaign. So thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for this. And I'm sorry that it took so long.
Don't be sorry. It's all good. Thank you so much.